Hey everyone, this is Stacey Lindis from Podcast PD, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Make sure you check out all of the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Steve here, and today I'm talking about three scary moments for teachers. That's right. Yeah, we're going to talk about three scary moments and how to get over them, right? And how to prepare for them. There you go. So thanks for listening and enjoy.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, welcome back. Yes. Okay, yeah, it's October, and it's that time of year where, you know, we might be thinking about the ghouls and the goblins and all that sort of stuff, right? Well, you know, I got to thinking that there are scary moments in what we do in school. Now, some of it could be funny. And some of it could be not so funny. That's right. And so today I'm going to talk about my three scary teacher moments. And these are just thoughts about what to do when these come up, right? So they're not meant to be funny. That depends on how you have to deal with these, right? All right. So here are my three scary teacher moments. Number one, it's Monday morning and your principal or evaluator has decided to wander into your room to observe you. Number two, a student challenges you as an authority figure. There, you'll hear what I'm talking about when I get there. And number three, you have to make the parent phone call. Boom, boom, boom. So here are my three very scary teacher moments. Yes. So let's talk about the first one. It's Monday morning and your principal or evaluator has decided to observe you. You know, what's funny about this is that, you know, as a principal, I tried to avoid those Mondays, but sometimes you just, you know, decided, I think I need to go pop in there. Yes, the evil, wicked mind of the administrator. Wah-ha-ha. All right, I digress. Anyway, you know, so let's talk about this for a second. So if the students aren't there yet, acknowledge the administrator, acknowledge the evaluator, and, you know, share what you're doing for the day. Yeah, right. Just chit-chat for a minute about what you're doing. Hand them your plans. Hand them that activity sheet, whatever it is, and him or her, and let's go about doing our things. If the kids are in the room, then just smile at them. Give them a copy of your lesson plans or a copy of the activity the kids are working on and go about what you're doing. Right. And always remember, just remain calm, you know? What's the worst that could happen, right? Yeah. So anyway, so just remain calm and go about doing what you're doing, because that's my next part of this, which is proceed with what you are going to do. Just continue doing what you are going to do. Don't change what you are going to do or make something up as you go, because guess what's going to happen? The kids will be so confused. And they will show it. Matter of fact, some of the kids might even look at you and go, excuse me, excuse me, what are you doing? This is not what we normally do on Mondays at this time. No, it's not. Do what you had planned. Don't change just because you have the evaluator in there. Now, if it's if you were going to do anything, that's not good, all right? So that brings me to the next part, which is planning and being prepared are so very important. You should always be on top of what you're going to do. That's right. You know, you don't want to wing class. No, because that's not good for working with the kids. It's not good for helping the kids. It's the exact opposite of helping. You're not helping them learn. You're just not helping them want to be in your class at all, because they'll focus on the teacher who does take time and understands that they need to spend time preparing for their class. So planning and being prepared are so very important. And the more prepared you are for class, you know, the calmer you're going to be, the less nervous you're going to be when you have a visitor or an evaluator in your room. So keep that in mind. You know, phoning it in, yeah, you know, that means that you don't care. And you might need to reconsider your chosen career path. Well, you know, make it common practice also to review what you'll do for the week. And on Monday especially. On Sunday night, one of the things you can do is you start in the evening and you just, you know, choose a time in which, you know, the kids have gone to bed, your spouse has gone to bed, whatever. You just pull out your stuff and you look over your lesson plans, you look over the activities you have planned, and you review it so that you're ready and you're comfortable. You know what you're doing in the morning. You know what you got to get done before the class starts, that type of thing. You know, whatever you got to get set up. Right, so review it Sunday night, or just arrive very early the next morning on Monday morning so you can review and get everything ready then. Either way, these types of things are going to help you deal with those little surprises that take place, like, hi, I'm here to evaluate you today. Or, hey, don't mind me, I'm just going to sit in the back of the classroom. Go ahead and do what you're going to do. Dun, dun, dun. So my number one scary teacher moment is Monday morning and your principal or evaluator has decided to observe you. Okay, so let's move past that and let's get to my number two scary moment. A student challenges you. Now, this looks different in it just depends on the situation, it depends on the school, it depends on, you know, where you are, it depends on the type of control you've had throughout the year. It depends on how you are in your classroom management skills, it depends on how you are in interacting and relationship building with the kids. So just bear with me for a minute. It looks different ways. It might look like defiance. It might be refusing to do things passively. You know, they're just taking their time, or they're not really doing what you say to do it, and they just put their head down, or they just, you know, just not working on stuff. Or maybe the student tells you where you can go and how fast you can get there, right? Yeah. It goes anywhere from insubordination to complete disrespect. Yeah. We've been there, haven't you? You've been there where it just basically says, you're not going to make me do this, I'm not going to do it, and whatever, just send me to the office. You know, so it what I'm talking about here, the way a student might challenge you, just kind of will go along this whole gambit of possibilities and how it looks. Some of it might look like this, you know, a kid who's basically laughing at you, not laughing with you. Maybe not quite like that, but, you know, there are some kids who, you know, we're just going to do all this stuff at inappropriate times, and I'm going to interrupt you because that's what I'm trying to see is what you're going to do. How about making sounds? You ever had anybody smack, suck, or click their teeth? You know what I mean? How about just smacking their gums? Yeah. Kind of like Clint Eastwood saying, go ahead, make my day. How about rolling their eyes? You know, you say something and they just roll their eyes. Bloop, 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 bloop. And then just flat out ignoring you. So any number of things is what might, you know, it might look like this. So, you know, my number two very scary teacher moment is the idea that the kid challenges you, or kids challenge you. And so here are my thoughts about it. Number one, remain calm, but keep in mind you got to be firm. Be the adult. Do not ignore. Now, let's back up to that be the adult just a second. In being the adult, what that means is that you do not, if you get angry, you don't yell and scream. You've got to deal with the situation, and you make sure that you're using that voice that is going to be the voice that explains that you are upset. But if you start screaming and yelling at the top of your lungs and, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Would you just yell, oh! You know, if you sound like that, that's going to give them good reason for laughter. At least some of them in the class, because they realize that they've got control of you. They've got control of you and you have no power. And that's scary. So instead, you've got to be the adult and you got to remember this. That means that if they call you a name, you don't call them a name back. That's right. If they say blah, 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 you don't go back and say blah, 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 blah. No. You insert whatever words you want right there. Experienced that, actually. I have, yes. I've had to deal with the situation where the so-called adult decided to get into the same sort of use of language as the kid. It's not good, all right? That's not going to do you any good. Instead, you got to remain firm. You've got to stay focused on what the issue is. You've got to be the adult. And overall, and one of the big things here is you cannot ignore, because if this is going on, if you just ignore it, it's not going away. It's going to get worse. Yeah, it is. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Oh, so very much. Yes, it will. So address the challenge in the student's space. What I mean by that is too often the adult will want to address a situation with a student from across the room. You cannot do this. If you do this, what happens is that you put them on stage or you put wind in their sails. You give them the ability, the thought that they're safe over in their corner of the room. Therefore, they can act however they want. And now they have an audience. There's this whole thought about barrier space and the safety that it creates because you have now challenged them. You have talked to them. You have called them out from across the room. Steve, stop doing that. And everybody looks at Steve, and Steve looks at all the bodies between him and you. Steve looks at all the chairs between him and you, all the desks, all the stuff, and decides, by the time you get to me, I can just totally disrupt this class. And one of the possibilities that you have just encouraged is for Steve to take control of your class. Oh, yeah, what are you going to do about it, huh? You come up, blah, 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 blah. And now forget about any sort of history taking place that day, yes. So you want to talk with them in their space, which means you go to the student and you be in their space. Now, not in their face, not staring them down. You do not want to do that. You do not want to get in their face and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. All right. And you do not want to say things like, what did you say? No. If they said it, it's already done. You've got to move past that, which is you've got to get control back and you've got to show that you are in control. Now, making them stare at you or making them repeat what they said, that's not going to do it. And going over there and getting right in their face and trying to get into a stare down contest or, you know, bumping chest. Whoa, don't do that whatsoever. But going to them and talking in a calm, firm voice, Steve, you need to stop doing, you fill in the blank, whatever Steve's doing. Now, so you've got to address it, and you address it in their space, right? Now, with this, I got to say this, because if at all possible, you want to remove the audience. And what I'm talking about here is that there's two ways of doing this. You either remove the child, the student, from the classroom. You go out into the hallway and have a conversation so you can be private. And if you're yelling and screaming, it's not going to be private. You go out in the hallway, you remain calm, you be the adult, and you have the conversation. That's one way. The other way is you contact your neighbor next door and you say, I got to deal with something. Could my class come sit in your classroom? You know who's got planning and who doesn't and stuff like this. You know, talk to them ahead of time. If you need to do something like this, one of the coolest things is to basically remove the entire audience. Send them over there. Or remove the student from the audience. Because you don't want all these people there who can then, you know, they might seem emboldened by the fact, you know, maybe you're a little flustered looking, or they might be able to make you flustered, but all of a sudden the numbers are against you, that type of thing. Yeah, it can get quickly out of control. So one of the great things is just remove them remove the audience or remove the student from the audience. And, you know, part of this, if you plan ahead, you can talk with your colleagues, your next door neighbor and stuff like that. If you know you're having a tough time and say, can we work something out where I may have to remove a kid and you come watch, or I ask you and you go ahead and you get somebody to help me come watch the class while I deal with the situation, so forth and so on. You know, so if possible, remove the audience. Now, along with all of this, at some, you know, you've got to work at keeping your sense of humor. That's right. You know, it may be making you angry, but somewhere in your back of your brain, you got to keep your sense of humor. And the reason why is because really what's going on may not even be about you. It may have nothing to do with you. It's just that you were an easy target and they took it out on you at that moment, but it's not really about you. It could be something that's going on at home. It could be something that happened prior to your class. It could be something that happened in class right at that very moment. You know, they could have checked their text messages and, you know, somebody broke up with them. You know, there's any number of things that could be going on that you just happened to be the adult in close proximity. And so I'm not going to do what you said to do. I mean, teenagers do stuff like this. Kids do stuff like this. Children do stuff like this, right? So you got to keep your sense of humor because many times it may not be about you. And that's why if you can remove the audience and you can have a chance to talk with the kid before you start making accusations and you know, basically backing them into a corner where there is no way out. Because one of the things I've learned about dealing with kids, especially ones who are can get disrespectful enough that they'll make the poorest choice ever, is that if you give them a chance to save face, it's quite possible you're going to get an apology from them. I kid you not. I've had some of the toughest kids. Once the audience was gone, because they didn't know how to get themselves out of something they got themselves into. You know, so everything's all about acting big, mean, tough, and thuggish. And then you remove the audience, and they don't have to do that anymore. And it's quite possible you're actually going to get what you want, which is for them to understand that they did wrong. Now, just because you get them to understand that they did wrong, we're going to get to this in just a minute. You know, you've got to understand that there's still got to be consequences for whatever it was that was happening. Because one of the things I want to make sure that I say here is that you've got to have consequences. Do you have consequences? Do you have rules in your classroom? Do the kids know them? They can't be in your mind. They have to know them. You have to practice them with them. They have to know what your rules are. And so when you have this type of violation of them, you have to have consequences. Do they know what they are? And have you ever really thought about it? And it really shouldn't be 1, 2, 3, you're out of here. No, it should be. The following are possible consequences, and you give them ideas, and always with your consequences, one of the things that you got to have up there is contact with the parent guardian. All right, and it may be a meeting that you have to have. It may be a big meeting that you call, but no matter what, one of the things you want to do is they're wasting your time, man. You got to figure out what you're allowed to do in your school and then do it. So if you can have your own detention, that is an awesome way. And if you know, they don't show up, then you get the administration to cooperate with you and say, look, if you don't show up, that's insubordination. We're going to give you whatever administrative consequences there are, so that then what you do is you get the parent to side with you, because you say, look, I just want them to do my detention. I want them to do my Saturday school. I want them to do my, you know, trash detail, whatever it is, to understand that he shouldn't have done what he did. Because the more you can make it about the situation with you as opposed to outside forces, the better it is. But sometimes you got to call in that help. And you got to take advantage of it. So you got to know what you're allowed to do, what you have that power to do within your schools. Because if you make, you know, idle threats like, I'm going to give you Saturday school for the rest of your life, well, you can't do that. And you wouldn't want to do that. Yeah. So, you know, don't make dumb statements like that, because the kid's going to know when you have no authority or no power to do what you're threatening to do. You know, one of the things that you want to make sure that you do is, you need to understand that, totally understand, when you are overmatched and you have lost control, you got to get help. Don't keep trying to deal with it. Don't keep trying to think that you're going to make it go away. Because if you are outclassed, if you are outmaneuvered, and you have lost control, get help. You know, ahead of time, if you can make somebody aware who can be your advocate, who can help you, who can give you some suggestions, or who can actually deal with it, that is the best thing. So in the best world, where we're all working together and we've talked with each other, you know, those that's how you, working together is the number one way to, you know, just ruin the day of that kid who wants to make your life miserable. But keep in mind, you've got to make sure that you have consequences to go for their actions, and they have to know it ahead of time. It can't be just pulled out of thin air. And always, you want to make sure that there's contact with a parent. So my first scary moment for a teacher is the idea that it's Monday morning and your principal or evaluator has decided to wander into your classroom to observe you. My number two scary moment for a teacher is a student challenges you. Well, that brings me to number three. That's right. I love to count. One, two, three. Okay, I know better. You've heard better imitations, right? So my third scary moment is the parent phone call. Oh, that's right. And what I'm talking about is that you know you've got to make this phone call, all right? There's other versions of this that we could do that are just as scary, but I want to talk about you need to make a parent phone call, all right? So if you're getting ready to make a parent phone call, you want to do and think the following ways. Number one, you want to get information together. That's right. Do not try and wing it, play it by ear, think that you can handle this, all right? You don't want to do that. You want to get information together, you want to have it all together, and you have it laid out. You want to have the grades, behavior, comments, whatever it is that needs to be part of this discussion, you want to have laid out in front of you, and you actually want to have notes, all right? You don't want to talk without notes. You want to make notes to yourself about things that you need to make sure that you address or talk about, all right? So having that, you also need to decide, what is it that I want to accomplish by this phone call? And if you have to, write it down. Write it down big. Put it on a big piece of paper right there in front of you that, no matter what, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. Okay? Now, in that manner, let's get into a little bit of kind of touchy-feely stuff. Like, for example, on that note, let's talk about take a deep breath. Take a deep breath before you make the phone call. And remember, you've got to remain an adult. Adult behavior is expected here, all right? You know, this is not getting upset and yelling and screaming on the phone. That's not going to help you any, because you're going to end up with more than this meeting going on if you start doing that stuff. So keep that in mind. Take a deep breath and remain calm. And one of the things that might help you do this is sit in a way in which your eyes can look at something that will keep you positive. Do you understand what I'm saying? Something that makes you happy, like a picture of your kids in front of you, or a picture of your favorite comedy routine, or you know, just something that makes you happy. Just anything, a certificate, a picture, your favorite comic book, I don't know. You have something there that when you face that, it helps you remember happy times, so that while you're talking, it helps you keep a little happier focus just in case it gets a little negative. One of the other things is that maybe you don't want to be happy. Maybe you want to stick to your guns. You want to stick to whatever your thoughts are. You want to remain firm and on point. And if that's the case, then put something there that helps you do that. In my case, when I wanted to do that, I'm a former Army Florida National Guard officer and reserve officer, and I kept on the wall this picture. When I wanted to stay to point, I kept one of these pictures of me with my unit, a former unit, right there where I could look at it, and it helped me remember I wanted to stay on point. If I wanted to make sure I kept a happy thought, I would turn a different direction when I was talking on the phone like this, and I would make sure that there were a picture of my kids there and other things that help me keep happy thoughts going. So just food for thought. That's going to help you to keep that that calmness if you do what I'm talking about. Now, don't put off or avoid phone calls, because it's only going to get worse. If the reason why you're making this call is because a parent left you a message, then make sure as soon as you get an opportunity, call back, because they're going to appreciate the fast response. Even if they're angry at you, they're going to appreciate the fast response, because they're going to expect the opposite. You never know what it's about. Don't put it off. Do it as soon as you can, all right? You want to make sure that if it's you making the call, that you're not putting it off because, the behavior happened today and, well, I don't have time this afternoon. I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow's, suddenly you're going tomorrow's tomorrow, tomorrow type thing. Don't put it off. Just do it. All right. Basically, one of the things that you also need to do when you have this parent phone call is you need to really be prepared to listen. That's right. You know, we've got to get better at listening. And what that means is that you're not thinking about what you're going to say next. You're actually listening. And I would bring something to take notes so that I'm writing down stuff that they're saying so that I can repeat back some of what they said to them in the form of a question or something that I say so that I can show them that I'm not just kind of fake listening to them. The other thing about this is that you don't want to keep interrupting them. Let them talk. If you want time to talk, let them talk. All right. This is very important because if you keep interrupting, that shows you're not listening. If you just sit there and at no point do you reflect on what they said, it's going to show that all you're doing is thinking about what your next point's going to be. That's not listening either. And what's going to happen is eventually you guys are just going to be toe to toe. And yeah, it's a lot of toes, isn't it? You're going to be angry at each other and they're getting angry simply because they don't think you're listening. Yeah. Practice being a real listener. All right. Now, if it might be contentious, and you know that it might be contentious, it's not a bad idea to have a colleague, an administrator, a counselor in the room with you, and let them know that you have somebody in the room with you just in case they want to ask a question or something like that. And just say, I asked Steve to step in the room with me just in case you might have a question of them or whatever. You know, but the point is that you have someone there who's really, their main goal may be to keep you calm, or their main goal may be to be a witness to the conversation. You know, there's any number of reasons to do this. The biggest one is just invite somebody in there so that and maybe they can help give you a suggestion. You know, sometimes I would have somebody sit near me who had permission to kick me if I started if I started being too difficult, you know, that type of thing, or if I wasn't listening, you know, they'd get my attention. So whatever works for you, right? But the idea is, if it might be contentious, you really want to have somebody in that room with you. Now, the last thing I want to say about this with a parent phone call is that this works a lot better. Call and invite them to meet with you in person. And at this meeting, you can have somebody else if you think it's going to be argumentative or whatever. But the whole idea is that, you know, don't treat it like, you know, it's going to make them run away because they think you're going to show up with a lawyer next or something like that. No, just invite them to meet with you at school so you can talk about Steve's behavior or Steve's grades or you know, whatever the situation is that you think he can do better. You want to see if we can't get him to show up a little more frequently to the help sessions. Whatever it is, invite them to a meeting because, first of all, just communicating with email is not good because email communication can be misinterpreted. Number two, phone calls. Yeah, you could get a little upset when if you were looking at each other face to face, you might be misinterpreting what's making you upset, and they might be also. And so face to face, you know, we see each other as real people then. It's amazing that being in the presence of each other, seeing the stuff that you have, remember that happy stuff I was talking about? If somebody's angry and they do notice that you have pictures of your kids or they see those happy things that you have in the class, like students' work and things like this, that makes you real. And sometimes it can make that meeting go so much better. So let's just back up here just a little bit, because today for my three scary, scary moments. We're talking about it's Monday morning and your principal or evaluator decided to wander into your room to observe you. My number two scary moment was a student challenges you, and my number three scary moment of all was you got to make a parent phone call. Hope this has been helpful. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time. Take care. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is excited to be a member of Voice Ed Radio. Voice Ed Radio. Your voice is right here. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends.